This beautiful poem from the pen of the late Dr. James Hannay deals with the tradition of the Maliseet Indians, describing the heroic conduct of a maiden of that tribe in leading a band of hostile Mohawks over the cataract at Grand Falls to save the lives of her people. Every adult Indian in the province today is familiar with the story, and they positively declare that it is founded upon fact. A Maliseet chieftain, now deceased, always claimed that when the Indians, who occupied an encampment near Grand Falls, learned of the disaster which had overtaken the Mohawks, they celebrated it by a dance which lasted for many days. Some people have doubted whether the Mohawks ever appeared on the St. John or Wagudi River, but it was not too far for them to reach in their wandering raids. They frequently came to Quebec, and to reach the St. John by way of Temiscouata Lake and the Madawaska River would not be a difficult matter. The Maliseets always stood in great awe of the Mohawks, and this fact would seem to indicate that these red-skinned sons of slaughter had joined in many a fray. Another Indian tradition tells us that Grand Falls was once a beaver dam, but was broken by Glosscap, an Indian god, who journeyed from St. John on snowshoes for the purpose. His snowshoes were ultimately abandoned at Kingsclear, York County, and are still to be seen there in the form of two little islands in the river, which the Indians call Snowshoe Islands. The Maiden's Sacrifice. In the sweet days of summer 500 years ago, where the broad swift Wagudi flowed on in might below, on rushed the ceaseless torrent which down the great falls bore, over the steep with sudden leap, full 80 feet or more. There on the bank above it an Indian town arose, where dwelt the warlike Maliseets. The Mohawks were their foes. These red-skinned sons of slaughter had joined in many a fray, with savage ire and carnage dire, shaming the light of day. But buried was the hatchet, they went to war no more. The little children gambled about each wigwam floor. Around that savage village were maize fields waving green. Mid such sweet peace, one scarce could guess that war had ever been. Sacobi and his daughter, the dark-eyed Malabeen, sailed up the swift Wagudi beyond the Kissibis stream, and there upon an island they rested for the day. Their hearts were light, the world was bright, and nature's face was gay. But like a clap of thunder, when the heavens are calm and clear, the war whoops of the Mohawks fell on their startled ear, and a sharp flint-tipped arrow pierced old Sacobi's breast. Ere Malabeen could raise him, her father was at rest. And bounding through the thicket, on rushed a savage crowd of Mohawks in their war paint, with war whoops fierce and loud. And ere the orphaned maiden had time to turn and fly, they bound her fast. All hope was past, except the hope to die. But one who knew her language said, "As soon as the sun goes down, your bark canoe shall guide us on to your father's town. Do this, your life is spared you. Then wed a Mohawk brave. Refuse, your doom is torture, or worse, to be a slave." Then said she, "I will guide you and wed a Mohawk brave. Though you have slain my father, I need not be a slave. The stream is swift and broken, and those apart may stray. Keep your canoes together, and I will lead the way." There, by her slaughtered father, the weary hours she passed, till the sun went down and the lofty trees a gloomy shadow cast. Thinking of home and kindred, of the friends she could not warn, the murderous night and the gory sight would greet the moral morn. Just as the gloom of darkness spread over hill and dale, down the swift Wagudi the Mohawk fleet set sail. 300 Mohawk warriors chanting a martial song, their paddles gleam upon the stream as swift they move along. In four long lines together, each to the next bound fast, the maiden in the center, the great canoe fleet passed. And he who knew her language, a line of silver drew, as he bent to the forward paddle of the maiden's birch canoe. The song was done, and silence fell upon every tongue, on warriors old and grizzled, and braves untaught and young. Hate filled each swarthy bosom, nearing the thrice-doomed town. Flow on, O mighty river, and bear the foeman down. But little cared the Mohawks, the wind might wail or sigh, the moon might hide her glory, and clouds obscure the sky. With hearts intent on slaughter, with thoughts on carnage fed, they toiled, and still before them the strong-armed maiden sped. And now the Indian village lies but a mile below. A sound like muffled thunder seems on their ears to grow. What that? 'Tis but a torrent, the Indian maid replied. It joins the strong Ragudi, which here flows deep and wide. Speed on a little further. The town is now hard by. Your toils are nearly over, and night still veils the sky. The town is wrapped in slumber, but ere the dawn of light, what stalwart men shall perish, what warriors die tonight. But louder still and louder the sounds like thunder grew, as down the rapid river the swift flotilla flew. On either shore the foam wreaths shone like a line of snow, but all in front was darkness, 'twas death which lay below. Then, with a shout of triumph, the Indian maiden cried, "Listen, ye Mohawk warriors," which said on death's dark tide, "Never shall earth grave hide you, nor wife weep o'er your clay. Come to your doom, ye Mohawks, and I will lead the way." Then, sweeping with her paddle, one potent stroke, her last, down the fall her bark is borne, the dreadful brink is passed, and down the whole 300 with quick succession go, into the dark abyss of death, full 80 feet below. And many a day thereafter, beyond the torrent's roar, the swarthy Mohawk dead were found upon the river's shore. But on brave Malabim's dead face no human eyes were set. She lies in the dark stream's embrace. The river claims her yet. The waters of 500 years have flowed above her grave, but daring deeds can never die while human hearts are brave. Her tribe still tell her story, and round their council fires honor the name of her who died to rescue all their sires. The following poem was written by Chandler Cushman Harvey, who was born in Fort Fairfield. Mr. Harvey was owner and editor of the Fort Fairfield Review from 1902 until his death in 1940. In later years, Mr. Harvey's literary talent turned somewhat to poetry, and he wrote quite a good deal of verse. Some of his poems, including the following, were published in a volume entitled Maine and Vermont Poets. Riverside Cemetery, where flows the winding river down around their peaceful bed, who, spirit cross exchanged for crown, now rest among the dead. I love to walk in autumn days of sunlight's warm and mellow haze, reflecting on the doom embracing all, both young and old, who here beneath their parent mold lie dreamless in the tomb. The loved in youth, the friends of age, are gathered all around, each done his earthly pilgrimage beneath his grassy mound. Around their soothing place of sleep come loving friends to praise and weep, remembering the joys of vanished days of action, when these dead were womankind, good men, or laughing girls and boys. When winter strikes with giant might, and winds the snowy blast which covers all with banks of white and locks the river fast, the snowflakes fall in swirling swarms, in blustery, bleak, and blinding storms, a bed of ermine making, to comfort all who sleep so low in peace beneath their shroud of snow, the sleep that knows no waking. When springtime weaves her verdant leaves and wafts her soothing balms, and the vernal air now joys, now grieves, in breezes and in calms, fond mourners come from near and far, from morning light to evening star, their blossoming tributes bring to friends now gone before, whose eyes upon them beam no more, the sweetest flowers of spring. O sacred field upon the plain, where sleep our friends so long, free from their earthly care and pain, their mourning changed to song. For ages guard thy hallowed dust, forever keep thy sacred trust. Thou art not a place of gloom, for here we sight the splendor bright and catch the gleam of heavenly light that shines beyond the tomb. Verse from the Kingdom of Pine by George F. Ashby. My Aroostook County home. Within the shadow of a giant tapering pine, whose tasseled plumes the summer breezes stir, the farmhouse stands, the scattered children's shrine, half hidden in a grove of oak and fir. Broad meadows sweep away to south and west, where fields of gaudy bloom delight the eye, while just beyond the mountain's wooded crest is sharply outlined against the western sky. Off to the eastward winds a sparkling stream where soft-eyed cattle love to drink and wade, or on its banks to chew the cud and dream beneath the cedar's checkered light and shade. Within this tiny valley reigns a calm unknown to cities with their strife and ills, a quietude that soothes the mind, a charm shut from the world by gods encircling hills.